This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Runk. Augusta, Georgia, North Charleston, South Carolina, St. Petersburg, Chattanooga, Charleston, West Virginia, Des Moines, Green Bay, I'll be there, and Nanaimo, and Victoria, B.C. Go to chrislea.com to get tickets, and get my special if you haven't yet already at chrislea.com. And there's merch, there's over there, there's all sorts of stuff. But other than that, let's get ready for this next episode of Congratulations. Crazy. It feels like I haven't done this show in 6 months, and I don't know why, and that's very weird. It really does feel like that. It feels like it's been a long time for you guys. So hello and welcome to the whatever episode it is and all that. Did you see the eclipse today? We're recording. It was the eclipse, or it was yesterday. I don't know. I don't know, and it doesn't matter because I was in LA and didn't see shit, and didn't see it because didn't affect it. All right. Everyone gets really nutty and they go like this: "Hey, you're not going to see this for the rest of your lives." And I think that's okay. You know, it's okay. You know why it's okay? Because I was in Saginaw, Michigan the other day, and that was a great place to perform. It might possibly be the worst place I've ever been to in my life, but there is, I went to a mall that looked like it would be where the apocalypse started, okay? And it looked like it would be where the outbreak just burst into the zombie attack, and that's where it started, right? Like, a monkey got loose and bit someone, and then the person bit two other people, and then it was just off at like a shoe store in Saginaw. And I went to, I walked around. By the way, I was in Saginaw, so was Shane Gillis. Shane Gillis was there two nights. I was there one night. I was there on night when he was performing as well. I don't know how he stayed there for 2 days. I stayed there one day, and it was, I mean, the nicest hotel there is the Residence Inn, which is, you know, fine. You know, it's all good, whatever. Hotel's a hotel. I don't need my hotel with like a full kitchen in it, though, right? You know, it's kind of a, when you get into the hotel and you see a full kitchen, you're like, oh, this is kind of, okay, people live here. People actually live in these places. Residence Inn. You're not fooling anyone with the word inn after residence. Residence mean you live there. So, so it'd be like calling it apartments hotel. It's apartments. Anyway, I was in Saginaw, and I was the reason why I know about the eclipse doesn't matter is because I was in Saginaw. How's this for logic? And that's in Michigan, and we went to a mall. Now, the mall had 5 shoe stores and 0 other things, okay? Because it's a mall in the middle of the country, and that's what malls have. They just have, like, 2 Foot Lockers, 1 Journeys, and a place called, like, Snipes, which is what it is. That's, like, the biggest shoe store chain in Michigan. And so I went there. There were only shoe stores and also nothing else. There was a food court. The food court had three things in it. It had one pizza place, then it had a sushi place, no thank you, in the middle of the country and in a broken down mall. And then the third place they had was a chicken place that was called Make 'em Say Something. Okay? Now, wow. All right? So this is where the apocalypse will start, right? The zombie apocalypse or the outbreak apocalypse or whatever it is. So I was in this mall. And as I'm in this mall, I think, you know what, dude? This is crazy I came here, but it was the only thing to do. I wanted to see if there was a coffee place here. There wasn't. No, why? Because there were only four shoe stores, two restaurants, and then Make 'em Say Something chicken. So, and I have a feeling the thing that it made them say was yuck, okay? Or ew, by the way. So now I'm in the mall and there's nothing to do. I say, what are we doing? Let's leave this mall. We leave the mall. As we're leaving the mall, I get hit with this feeling, this dread, sadness kind of feeling. And I say to my two friends, my tour manager and feature for the weekend, Jason Collings, I say, dude, do you ever think about this thing? I just stepped out of that mall. You ever think about this kind of stuff? I'm never, for as long as I live, going to ever go back into that mall. I will never, my whole life, set foot back into that mall. And I think about that stuff kind of all the time. And Jason says, dude, I think about that stuff too. And my tour manager, Enrique, says, maybe I'll go back. Okay? And I said, well, I think you're missing the point, and also, no, you won't. So what's the situation where you might have to go back to that mall? And he says, I travel. I'm a tour manager. Maybe I'll come back with somebody. Maybe we'll come back. Maybe I'll come back with someone else. Maybe I'll be like, oh, I'm in Saginaw. Maybe I need a new pair of shoes. Maybe I'll go to the mall. They have four places. So whatever. My point is, I'm never going to go back to that mall, ever. Okay? I'll never step foot back in that mall again. And if somebody were to tell me before I went into that mall, hey, this is the last time you're ever going to go in that mall, I might have some sort of anxiety about it. I might be like, wow, really? I better take this mall in. At least a little bit, right? Now, I didn't, because I didn't think about it. Because for all I knew, the mall was going to be just totally awesome. Okay? There's going to be a cool, you know, coffee place and maybe a good shoe store. And who knows, maybe there was going to be like a cool like store with clothing that had also like Asian toys in it. You know those? There's those at the mall. So I didn't know that, and I left the mall. And then that's when I thought of it. And I know I'm never going to step in that mall again. And that's basically the feeling that you get when someone tells you that there's going to be an eclipse and it's the last time in your life you're ever going to be able to see this, so don't miss it. And all you see is shade over sun. All you see is shade. Basically, what you see is nothing. You see the moon over the sun, but it blocks the sun, so you see nothing. So it makes you think, well, I got to see that. I'm never going to see it again. And then you look at it, and you, by the way, you're not even supposed to look at it, even with the glasses. You're supposed to kind of look to the side. So you don't actually look at it. They make you feel all this anxiety. And then you look at it, and it was what it was. Guess what? I didn't look at it. And guess what? It also happened 4 years ago. I don't like when people say it's the only time. What's with the memories? You don't remember there was an eclipse like 4 or 5 years ago? There's going to be another one. And also, there's going to be more eclipses than I'm going to go to that Saginaw Mall in my life. So I don't even have to feel that anxious about it. Now, granted, seeing an eclipse is cooler than seeing the mall in Saginaw, I guess. But I'm not doing either ever again. How about that? And as a matter of fact, I've only done one. I've only gone to the mall in Saginaw and not seen an eclipse. And that's how I know, and that's how I make it feel okay and justify it in my head that it's okay I didn't see the eclipse. Next topic. I had a good show. Man, the shows in Saginaw, one of the top five shows. Maybe on tour. So fun. And and it was amazing. The people there need to move, you know. It's just crazy. I was on stage. Last time I was on stage, 2 weeks ago, Kristen came with me, and she literally was like, why don't you, because it was during the basketball game. That people, you know, it was the basketball game, the men's one, not the Kristen Caitlin Clark one, whatever. By the way, I'm so happy that's over. Well, let's get into that later. College basketball women. NC State played, and they played other Carolina or something. I don't know. And I was in Raleigh. So Kristen was like, the game's going to be while you're doing the show. Now, the show was great. I had already sold the tickets. So I'm like, okay, it's going to be okay. It's not like they're going to not come to the show because they're going to go to the game. I mean, maybe they are, but they already bought their tickets, right? So I'm okay. Anyway, I showed up, had a great show. But she was like, you know what you should do? Now, this is why I think that maybe deep down, nobody ever knows anyone. Or people don't give a shit about you as much as they care about themselves, okay? It's one or the other. And I keep getting reminded about this in life. Like some one time I was at the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, and I made friends with a guy. He was a stunt guy. He looked like a little ferret, but he was stocky, okay? Super nice to everyone, annoyingly so. One of those guys where you wouldn't be surprised if he was religious as shit, and he wasn't. We talk all the time. I mean, I go to this coffee place for years. And I've talked about this guy on my podcast probably in the first 10 episodes. And we were talking 3 years, talking almost every day. I'd see this dude, barring Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, and all the other ones. One day he's reading a book. And I don't remember what the book was, but let's say it was the history of Dookie. Because you know why? It doesn't matter what it actually was. I would have read it just like I would have read the history of Dookie. All right? I would have never read it. Meaning, okay? I'm not interested in reading the history of Dookie. And I'm not interested in reading whatever it was he was reading. So he starts telling me about the book, which, by the way, I'm fine with. And why am I fine with that? I am fine with someone telling me about a book they read or are reading, because I like when people are really into something and want to share that with me. It could be about the history of Dookie. If you are passionate about the history of Dookie and you want to sit down and have a conversation with somebody, dude, I'm not bullshitting. I'm your man. I'll sit down and we can only talk about the history of Dookie. And I'm serious. I'm serious. My friends know, mark my word, I guarantee, I don't care. You can talk about quilt making, I don't care. If you're into it and passionate about it, I'll talk about it with you. That doesn't mean I want to read the history of Dookie, okay? So whatever this guy's reading, which is the equivalent to the history of Dookie, he starts telling me about it. Now I'm all ears because I'm like, okay, cool. I want to know about this guy. And then he tops it off. The cherry is, you should get this book. You should get this book and read it. And I said, oh, I don't know. And he said, you know what? I think you'd love it. Hey, what are we doing? What are you doing, Chris? I'm washing my hands of this dude. Because why? Well, he doesn't know me, right? He doesn't even think about... He knows I've been sitting with this dude for 3 years. Almost. I mean, how many days a year? 200? We talk all the time. And this dude isn't not only going to tell me I should read the book, which if he just said you should read the book, maybe that would be okay. But he had to follow it up with, I think you'd like it. Now, I've talked to this guy a maximum 600 days, okay? It's been 3 years. Let's level it out at 200 days a year. So after all of that, you say, I think you'd like it. Well, then guess what Chris D'Elia does? or in one of those Dyson ones, the one of these ones that don't work. You don't know me, dude. Or you don't give a shit about me. Or you're pushing your agenda on me anyway. And both are bad. So, my wife. And I don't mean that as a Borat impression. It did sound like a Borat impression. If you're still doing a Borat impression in 2024, you got to take a hike for real. My wife, it's a really easy impression that everyone can do. And it's one of those ones that you just, they should have wrapped that up the day after it came out, right? So, my wife says to me, the basketball game's on when you're on stage. You know what you should do? He leans in. Yes. Doubtful, but there's hope. She says, you should give updates that include the scores of the basketball games during your show. Now I'm just like, nice to meet you. And she said, well, I know that you don't care, but it would be fun for the people in the audience because it's in this city, the two towns in this state are playing and they're not at the game and they are at your show. So you should do it because of that reason. Now I'm just like, nice to meet you, you know? And she says, yeah, but I know you wouldn't normally want to, but I think, and I say, sweetie doll, it's so nice to meet you. Because we don't know each other. Because here's the deal. My wife, someone who's been down, right or down, my angel, my homie, my fucking homie, dude. I mean, I'll put on some Scarface in the car and listen to that with her and just roll. I mean, my homie, dude, knows that not only am I not going to do that, I'm hella not going to do that. So it's a little bit like, pay attention. And look, I do it too. I do it. My wife would argue I do it the most. I make people like stuff. But I am a cult leader. It's different. You know? The update to NC State game, you know? Like, I'd have to Google it. I'm like, babe, how would I do this? In the middle of what bits? In the middle of my, trans material and talking about going to rehab, or in the middle of what? Oh, by the way, yeah. By the way, they're up six. NC, the Gamecocks are up six or whatever. And then now, by the way, there's a team called the Gamecocks, you know? Change it. So the Caitlin Clark thing is just out of control. I guess she's good at shooting. And I go like this, next. And that's fine. And that's good. And you know what? Here's the thing. It's nice when people are good at what they do. I love when people are good at what they do. And if they're good at what they do, then that's great. But I turned it on for a little bit. And they play like children. Okay? They're not as good as the best players who are the NBA. They're not even as, I mean, are they, I mean, you watch some of these female basketball players, dude, and everyone's like, and look, and she is great. And look, you could say she's great for that league. And yeah, okay. LeBron James technically is great for his league, but that's the best league. There is something to be said about watching somebody who can inspire a bunch of people. And that I get, doesn't matter what league you're in. You can be in a little league, right? I could be at one of my son's T-ball games and I can watch that. And of course, they're not playing at the same level of, as Tim Salmon and John Crook, right? But they're still, they can inspire each other, right? Even if they're not my kids, right? My kids, I want to watch my kids play basketball, baseball, but it's like, you know, yeah, they're not playing at the level of Darren Dalton, John Allred, but they're still inspiring each other, right? They're not playing the same level as Joe Carter and Fred McGriff, but they're still inspiring each other, right? Like, they're not playing the same level as Tony Gwynn and Andy Bennis, but they're still inspiring each other, right? Like, they're not playing the same level as Howard Johnson and Daryl Strawberry, but they're still inspiring each other, right? Right? Like, they're not playing the same level as Don Mattingly and Hensley Mullins, but they're still inspiring each other, right? Right? Like, they're not playing the same level as Ricky Henderson and Jose Canseco. My friend thought it was Joe's Canseco, but they're still inspiring each other, right? Right? Like, they're not playing the same level as Dave Henderson or Mark McGwire, but they're still inspiring. They're not playing the same level as Todd Zeal and Chris Sable, but they're still inspiring each other, right? Right? Like, they're not playing the same level as Al Leader and Dennis Eckerson, but they're so inspiring each other, right? Like, they're not playing the same level as fucking David Cone and Mookie Wilson, but they're still inspiring each other, right? Like, they're not playing the same level as Ozzie Smith and Oil Can Boy, but they're still inspiring each other, right? Like, they're not playing the same level as Barry Larkin and fucking Cal Ripken Jr., but they're still inspiring each other, right? Like, they don't have 69 wins in a row like fucking Oral Hershiser, or they don't play as well as Kirby Puckett, but they're still inspiring each other, so, right? Dude, he's still going. They're not playing at the same level as Kegelfried Jr. or Kevin Mitchell, but they're still inspiring each other. Dude, he's a 90s kid. He's an 80s, 90s kid. And he doesn't know sports, but he did. But he did, dude. So when you come at me with a, oh yeah, but Caitlin Clark, she actually has a killer crossover, I say no, and you say that's not cool. But the kid knows sports. Yeah. So it's like, if my son's playing, yeah, he's not playing at the same level as Gary Carter and Todd Zeal, but he's still inspiring each other. Did I say Todd Zeal already? I may have. Did I? Did he double up? If he doubled up, okay, I'm sorry, but that was the last one. But dude, what other comedian could do that? What other person can do that? Vin Scully with his, remember he tweeted his fucking picture of his eye? He's dead. Dude, imagine if I announced a baseball game. But anyway, so you got to watch this Caitlin Clark woman play basketball, and she's good. She's the best in her league, whatever. She lost against the Gamecocks. Don't call a team the Gamecocks, right? It's like calling a team Chess Schlong. But, you know, and the Chess Schlong so my buddy's trying to get me to watch it, and I don't watch it. And that's really it, honestly. So I go, I'm working out, you know me, right? I worked out 3 times this week. I couldn't get to a fourth. I just couldn't, man. You know, if I only work out 3 days a week, I get all bunched up, and then I just want to quit. But I'm going to go tomorrow, and that's fine. And I was on the road, and it was hard to do it in Saginaw because of, you know, the dread. And, but I was at the gym before I even went to the road. And I'm in my locker room. I'm in the gym locker room. And dude, I'm getting changed. I see someone walk in with a grocery bag. Now, look, not only is this the world, but this is LA. And there's everything in the world. You know? There is. Like, there's a guy drinking out of a coconut right now. You know what I'm talking about? There's a boy on a carpet pretending it's flying around right now. Right now. There's 8 billion people, right? Okay? There's somebody, even though you thought these were closed, there's somebody somewhere at a Fry's Electronic. They're there. You thought they all closed down, but there's that many people. Somebody's eating Funyuns, watching wrestling. There's probably many people eating Funyuns, watching wrestling. But my point is, a guy carrying a grocery bag in a locker room isn't that far-fetched in the world, let alone L.A. Because L.A. is the macrocosm to the microcosm of the world. And I know that sounds backwards, but it's not, right? Because, like, you take somebody who's somewhat themselves and they move to L.A., they become major themselves, okay? So he's carrying a grocery bag and he's walking around in regular clothes. And I'm just like, well, that's kind of weird, but it's L.A. But it's kind of weird, but it's the world and it's also L.A., right? There's 8 billion people here. So why wouldn't I be in the locker room witnessing a guy carrying a grocery bag? You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of times people will stop me on the street and they'll be like, hey, Chris D'Elia, what the heck? And I'll just look at him and say, I got to be somewhere. And I'm right. I'm somewhere and they just saw me. So I am now in that mindset. I'm like, oh, you know what? This has to happen somewhere. It's happening right now. The guy looks at the receipt on the bag and says, Craig, it's Postmates. It's Postmates or Uber Eats. It's DoorDash. It's delivery. Hey, where's the worst place to have food? In a locker room with a bunch of schlongs out. Hey, dude, in the directions. Yeah, I'm at the gym. What you're going to want to do is give them this membership code. Come up. I'm in the men's locker room. Hopefully you're a dude. Otherwise, you can't get in. Anyway, thanks for the asparagus and chicken. Dude, and it was delivered to a guy in my locker room, the locker room. This gym is nuts, though. LA is crazy. I saw a dude in there in that same gym once with a tank top on, working out, eating chicken with his hands like a fucking naughty king. Like, seriously eating chicken off the bone, not pieces, like the wings part, like the worst part to do it, you know? And with another dude just talking in front of the weights. That was crazy. And you're probably like, what kind of guy would do that? Think about it. Whoever you have in your head, that's who, because that's so the obvious guy who would do that. Crazy to get Uber Eats ordered anywhere but an establishment that you kind of either own or work there. Like, to just be, I ordered Postmates the other day. I ordered an Earth Bar shake. Talk about LA. I got the protein. What is it called? The workout. What the hell is it called? I either get the Great Morning Breakfast Shake, which sounds weird, but it's good, what the hell is the Earth Bar Shake called? Hold on, let me look it up. Earth Bar. What? Oh, Earth. I put it on there. Whoops. Earth Bar Shake. What the hell is it called? Muscle Up. That's what it is. I get that because I'm a sucker, and I think it's probably good for my muscles. I order only that, okay? I tip the person like $10. It's going to be $20 to get it delivered to my house. Now, yes, Chris, what the fuck? Why couldn't you go get it for $5 yourself? And the answer is because I don't wanna, right? So they came. So, dude, do you do the thing where you watch them show up? Like, this is crazy because my wife will order Uber Eats and then just at some point go to the front door. Like, there's no food's here. Like, she waits too long and then goes and gets it. And it is maddening because I'm hungry too. But she'll be like, I'll order it. She orders it, just throws her phone. It goes like, goes down a waterfall, and she's just like, it'll be here. She doesn't give a fuck. And then I'm like, hey, when's the food going to be here? And she's like, I don't know. This is why you look at it here. And I'm like, well, you ordered it. She's like, well, find my phone. And I'm like, what? So I track the motherfucker, right? I'm like Bear Grylls. When I order a shake from Earth Bar, if I'm getting whatever it is, a burger from a nice gourmet place, I might as well be dropped into the middle of the tundra with nothing, and my name is Bear Grylls, because I am tracking the dude getting my shit. Guess what? If they switch drivers, I'm already well aware. If you switch drivers from Otis to Nantuck or whatever the fuck their names are, oh, I know. I know Otis was first. And I watch, and I even know when the service cuts out for them because it glitches. They stop for a little bit. A normal person, a plebeian, a rookie's eye might see that and be like, why did they stop in the middle of O? And then, boom, they're way ahead, and they're way ahead because their service cut out because I live in the hills, all right? And I know this. I see the car coming up the street. It's about three or four, well, no, it's about six blocks away. Now, look, when you live not in New York, 6 blocks may as well be 90 miles. You're not walking it. It's crazy to do that. In New York, for some reason, it doesn't matter. In New York, you could just walk from Tribeca to Harlem and be like, you guys want to keep going? I don't know why they do that, but they do that. And you'll do that there too. For some reason, you're just like, this is what you do in New York. But if you walk more than 5 blocks in LA, you are a lunatic, okay? So it's 6 blocks away. I'm watching it. And then it says, rate your order. And I go, huh. That's crazy because I'm watching where they stopped, and I am where I live, and both of those places aren't one and the same. So, God, what you doing? Whoever's the all-knower, all-seer, what's going on? And then the app just kind of, you know, stops doing what the app does. So I go, oh, no. And I walk downstairs to the front door. I open it up. And guess what's there? A doormat. Guess what else is there? A case of Arrowhead water bottles that I didn't bring up yet. And guess what else is there? One of my wife's little statue things that... it's like a little boy with a fucking hat on. Guess what else is there? Nothing. Huh? But my food's delivered. And I am where I live. Hey, dude, two things are for sure. If my food is delivered and I am where I live, I'm going to have a mouthful full of shit in about 4 minutes. But what the heck? The only thing in front of my door is a doormat, my wife's little statue, and the Arrowhead bottle waters that I didn't bring up yet. So God, what you doing? I go on the app
And you know how they can send a, like, they take a picture of where the food is that they deliver? Well, I looked at that picture. And guess what was on that picture? My food. And guess what was behind my food? Nothing I've ever seen before. Nothing I have ever laid eyes on before. The door, the ground, where the door meets the ground. There was a little branch that was coming into the frame that I had never seen. And there that Earth Bar bag was. So I go out loud, oh, no, 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 no. And I click the thing to call the person. Now, what does that do? It doesn't call the person. What it does is it says, hey, pick up the phone when it rings. We'll connect you to the person that dropped off your food. I don't want it to be that way. I want the person's fucking cell phone number as soon as they deliver it, especially if it's six blocks away. But instead, I'm waiting for the call. Ring, ring. I pick up. Hello? Heated. Guess what I'm talking to? Another phone ring. Ring. I'm not talking. Hello? And it's always, if you do this with Postmates or Uber Eats, it's always somebody that answers the phone with an attitude of like, hey, who is this? And it's like, there's a 90% chance it's me. Hello? Hi, yeah, hi. This is always me. Did you drop the food off? Did you drop the food? What? You know, Tremis or whatever the fuck their names are. Did you drop the food off? You dropped the food off, but it wasn't at the actual place. I looked at the picture and there was a doorway I've never seen before. So the lady says, I did? Like, how do you control yourself in that situation? You know what I'm saying? Like, some people, like Kristen would just be like, oh, yeah, I think maybe. So I go, yeah, you did it at a place that is not my house. And she said, oh, I said, you dropped it on. And I said, this street, which is not even my street. And she said, oh, I did? And I said, yeah. And she says, oh, God, okay. Huh. So I say, you have to deliver it to the... Now, are you ever in a situation where you're dealing with such a moron that you can't, like... You can't not sound like a dick to them, you know? Like, I ended up saying, yeah, so you have to actually deliver it to the address that it says. And I'm like, and I look at my wife, and my wife is like, Chris, like, are you being... And I'm like, babe, what else do I say? What else can I say? She's like, yeah, you're right. You're this big idiot. So I say, okay. She says, all right, well, you know what? Let me go back and pick it up, and then I'll bring it. I say, okay. Hang up, and guess what? That's the end of the story. You're probably like, yeah, well, but what happened? Nothing. I was just me after that, and that lady was that lady after that, and I never got my food. Nothing happened after that. The end of the story was when I hung up without my food. Doesn't that suck? But that's the end of the food. So I didn't get the thing. Luckily, dude, I ordered two different things at the same fucking time. And there it was. In 5 minutes, the other guy came through. Dude! Hey, yes! You cannot beat a motherfucker who's been to that mall in Saginaw. You can't, life. You can't. God, he ordered salmon. He ordered a salmon bowl too, dude. He knew something like that was going to happen, dude. Sometimes it's not like you're psychic, but it's like all the things that have happened to you in your life, you use them together to predict what's about to happen, like they do on that show Foundation. And you figure out, in a way, it's like a science. oh, I'm due for the food not being delivered because it's now and because of all the things that have happened in my life already. And that's fine. So I'm going to order two meals from two different places.
And I got one of them, dude. He beat life. And it's all good.
Oh, man, we started watching. My dude, hey, just so you know, my wife and friends betrayed me this week. So that's cool. Know what they did? Oh, dude, I'm going on the. Okay.
We have friends that come over a lot. David and Jerrica. All right. Now, here's the deal. All right. We watch TV a lot at night. It's the night I leave to go to Michigan Wednesday night. I'm leaving. I'm taking the red eye. Okay. David comes over and Jerrica comes over. My wife is over because it's our house and I'm here because I bought this fucking thing. And they say, want to watch something? Now, I got to leave in 2 hours and I got to pack. So I say, well, if we watch something, it should be like a movie or something. And they were like, and I was like, well, let's watch a series. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what are you even, I can't. What series is an episode and a half long? Oh, you're going to watch an episode and then I'm going to go and I'm going to come back in 5 days. We're going to finish the series. You got three people here. You're going to watch the whole thing. She's like, nah, yeah. So I say, you know what we should watch when I get back though? Top of the Lake. Now, I don't know if you know what Top of the Lake is. It's with the woman from Mad Men and Invisible Man, whatever that horror movie is. And Handmaid's Tale. And she is like looking for a lost girl. And you know what it is? I know my friends. I'm not like that guy at the coffee bean that was the stuntman that tried to get me to read the book, The History of Dookie. I'm not like my wife that's trying to tell me to give NC State updates in the middle of my act. I'm me. I understand my friends. I understand me. And something I know is, taking into account all of us, this show, Top of the Lake, is right up our alley. Okay? And I know this. But I don't just kind of know it. I really know it. And do you know why I really know it? Because a lot of times you see a trailer and you're like, I think I might see that. Like that movie Cuckoo that's coming out. I really want to see that. That trailer is awesome. It doesn't give anything away. And Dan Stevens is in it. Two things. I love what trailers have. Okay? And sometimes I know something is right up our alley because I've already seen a few episodes. Now, I say to them, I've already seen about two or three episodes, but it's so right up our alley and I stopped watching it just because I don't know why. I was doing something else. This was 10 years ago. It came out in 2013. But why don't we watch that when I get back? And they go, yeah, maybe. I go upstairs to pack and Calvin comes with me. It's really cute. I'm loving it. You know, he's like, what are you going to pack? I'm having a real father-son thing. He's like, well, you can take this and that. He's like, you take this. And when you come back, what are we going to do? And it's so cute. I pack. It takes me about 35 minutes. I got about an hour left. I walk downstairs and Elizabeth Moss is on screen. Do you know what Elizabeth Moss was in? Mad Men. Elizabeth Moss was in Handmaid's Tale. Elizabeth Moss was in that Invisible Woman movie or whatever the fuck it's called. And she's also in Top of the Lake.
And I'm like, huh. This isn't any of the things I just mentioned, but
top of the lake.
So I go, what are you guys doing? And it's like, oh, I don't know. They said you saw it. Dude, David chimes in with one of these motherfuckers. Oh, you said you saw it. Oh, dude. I didn't, did I? I you're taking it out of, you're doing the fucking thing where if this was in court, I'd be fucked. But you know what I meant, right? They're already well into the first episode. I'm busy packing, trying to make the money to pay for this Hulu subscription. Being a good dad, teaching Calvin how to pack. And they go behind my back. And I come down. And they're watching Elizabeth Moss in this caper. And I go, well, I wanted to watch it. And she's like, well, it's like, all right, well, fuck, all right. Well, I'm not going to watch it now. And I'm like, oh, we'll watch an episode or two. And then we'll watch it when we get back. Because you said you watched two episodes. Okay. Fine. It's not worth it. I got to leave. I leave. My ride comes 10:40. Late red-eye shit, right? I leave. Bro, every day, my wife usually goes to bed before 12. I'm on the plane on the red-eye, and it's fucking 3 a.m., and I'm texting with my wife. I don't understand what's going on, but she's 4 episodes deep of Top of the Lake, and my friend is still over. And so is Jerrica, okay? So I go, what the fuck? You never stay up late? I said I wanted to see the show. Like, I know, but we were just into it and, you know, yada, yada. Hey, dude, this story's not over. The next night, David comes over again. So does Jer. And they watch another few episodes, dude. Oh! And the story isn't over yet. On the third night, when I'm in Saginaw, Outbreak City, Michigan, tossing and turning in my residence in Full Ketchin Hotel, Jerrica texts me, good news, season 2 of Top of the Lake is bad anyway. Ow! You abandoned me. He betrayed me. He stabbed me in the front. You invited my friend over to watch the show that I suggested that said it was dying to see. What the fuck? When am I going to watch this fucking thing now? It's going to be the same. I might as well be the mall in Saginaw. I'm never going back to that. I'll never see this thing now. All of my friends and wife has seen it. Unreal, dude. They betrayed me. Stabbed me in the front. But you live and learn. I won't ever. Mum's the word when it comes to what they want. They want to say, you want to see more shows? Mum's the word. And then I come back. And I say, I say, well, you guys watch the show, huh? And they say, yeah. And I say, where's I going with this? I come back. I say, you watch the show? Yeah. And we're like, let's start a new one. So I'm like, all right, no harm, no foul. I missed a whole season. It's not like I have to sit here and watch the end of a thing, which would suck. So, dude, I was on the road for 4 days. 5 days. I come back. And I'm like, I got a show on lock that I've seen before that is going to be so up my alley. So up David's alley. So up Jerrica's alley. So up Kristen's alley. That
it's going to make Top of the Lake look like the history of Dookie. Okay? Like, I've got the most killer show. And I've already seen it, and I don't watch shit twice. I do not watch shit twice. But I gotta make a point. And I'm like, should I even tell him I've seen it before? Or should I? So I say, guys, I got the show. You fucked me royally with the Top of the Lake shit. You really just opened me up and went to town, right? Let's admit it. 5 days, you opened me up. And you just grilled sausage on my insides. You opened me up like a grill, and you just fed your extended family. Right, didn't you? Right? Okay? Can we agree on that? Right? Ah, fuck, right? You filled your bellies by just opening me up, right? You even had some enemies at the cookout. So I'm like, all right, I got it. This show's right up your alley. I know because I've seen it, and I'm willing to watch it again. There isn't a show that you'd like more than this show. Collectively, all three of yous. And it's called Broadchurch. And you know what the next thing that happened was? My wife said, but look, and pointed to the fucking TV screen. And it was on the homepage of that fucking In the Night TNT show with Chris Pine that came out in 2019. Remember that show? No? Because it was only on one season, which means it sucks. Because it didn't get to season two. It was on TNT, and they don't really push the envelope, do they? And it was in 2019 when Chris Pine was a rising star, and nobody knows about it? And I say, what about this? In the Night. What's it called? In the Night? I Am the Night. And I go, what is this about? And, dude, boof, bing, dong, bang. It starts, and I said, babe, the Broadchurch show, trust me, is right up your alley. She says, yeah, but we always watch what you want to watch. Why don't we just give it 5 minutes? Dude, and here's why that is like a little twisting knife in my chest. That's what I say. That's what I say to her. Give it 5 minutes. If you don't like it, we'll change it. Oh, I gave it 5 minutes, dude. It's a period piece. It's a period piece. I gave it 5 minutes. I gave it 10 minutes. I gave it 15 minutes. I put Cal to bed. I came back down. We were 30 minutes into the show. And I said, hey, is this good? And my wife says, I don't know. And David says, and I say, so maybe watch something else. And she said, come on, I'm kind of into it. Oh, dude. Bro, this isn't even close to the end of the story. Buckle the fuck up. We watched a full episode of I Am the Night, and I was like this. I just got home from fucking Saginaw, and I'm like this. Watching the boringest shit. By the way, Chris Pine's a great actor. If he wasn't so handsome, people would value him as a better actor. But they think he's handsome and he's good, but he's great, okay? I don't care. It's a period piece, and it's about the Black Dahlia again. How many things are they making fucking about the Black Dahlia? But anyway, so at the end of the episode, I say, you want to watch episode two? And Chris is like, I'm kind of into it. And David's like, whatever. I'm kind of easy. And I'm like, guys, you're going to be so into Broadchurch. So they say, what about episode two of I Am the Night? And I say, what about if we just give Broadchurch 5 minutes? My wife says, we always watch what you want to watch, and this sucks. And I say, babe, I know you. You're going to love this show. She says, okay, play it. And she looks at me sternly, and she says, I better fucking love this show. And I say, game on. Boom, bang, dang, bong, gang, zhong. Broadchurch starts, and dude,
It's like immediately we're all watching a fucking UFC fight. Okay? Everybody is locked in, engaged, in. The credits happen and my wife says, oh man, this is it. I'm into it. So I go, I know my shit, dude. Why do they toy with me? And so we're watching it. We watch four episodes, dude. So I'm like, dude, I think they only watched three of Top of the Lake. I'm winning. I'm killing them in this hole. Even though they stab me in the front, I'm being the good guy and I'm rising on the top, right? I'm being the good guy. I'm being the guy. I'm not saying much. I'm showing them the show. I've already seen it. I'm being a good dude. We watched four episodes. And I go, I gotta go to bed. I gotta wake up tomorrow, renew my license at the DMV. So everyone leaves, we go to bed, wake up. Kristen says, maybe 4 hours ago, hey, want to watch Broadchurch? And I say, well, David's not here. Jerrica was. And she says, well, I'm going to text David. So she texts David, hey, want to come over tonight? And I text him, hey, want to come over tonight? And he says, yeah, but I got to go dinner with Rick Glassman. So why don't you watch episode 5 right now? And I'll watch episode 5 right now. I'll go to dinner with Rick Glassman, and then we'll watch episode 6, 7, 8 when I come over after Rick Glassman's dinner. And I say, great. My wife, Fong, Shing Ding Dong Ding, episode 5. We watch it. It's great. We're hooked. Rolls into episode 6. I say, yo, we should probably turn it off because David's going to come. And she says, well, just keep it on in the background. We'll watch it again. I say, whatever. Okay, fine. Also, I know secretly David might have rolled it into episode 6. Like, there's all sorts of stuff going on in the background, right? And that could have happened, you know? So we're playing episode 6. And then the producers come over to do this show. Congratulations. Guess what my wife is watching as I talk to you right now. Broadchurch season 1, episode 8. Which means I'm not watching it with her. Dude, do you know how much they opened me up this week? Does anybody want a hot dog? That's them. What do you want on your hot dog? It's almost done. That's them. Just opening me up, dude. Is anybody, what do you want? You want cheese on your burger? Chris's chest is open and we're sizzling it. Unreal, dude. So now I gotta go back. I gotta go out there now and I gotta go watch episode 7 of, here's the craziest part. I've already seen it. I forgot what happened and my wife has seen it now definitely and she knows what happened because she just saw it. So now she's looking at me like, I know what happens. And I'm like, I forget what happens, dude. Stab me in the front, open me up. How you want your burger? And that is so nuts, bro. Why do they toy with me? Why do they toy with me? I know deep down what everyone wants to watch. She just got back in. She just finished Broadchurch. She just walked in. She just finished walking. Yeah, you have fun? Yeah. You see the scene I was talking about that was crazy?
Yeah.
All right, I don't want to know anymore because I forget. All I remember is the one crazy scene, and I told you where the girl dry heaves, and it was the best acting I've ever seen, and I don't want you to fucking say anything else because I don't remember the ins and outs of who did what and what did who, and so just don't tell me. But it was crazy. And dude, we're going to watch Broadchurch season 2, and we're going to watch Broadchurch season 3, and you're not going to watch it without me. And that's it. If I have to go on the road and we're in the middle, you wait. You're not doing the Top of the Lake backstab. The Top of the Lake backstab shuffle. You're not going to do that again. Anyway, what else is going on? No, and I didn't even talk about the thing about... Dude, last night... I got it here, too. Last night, we're watching the fucking... Broadchurch. David says... Do you guys mind... Sometimes David's too friendly. He says, do you guys mind if I move the ottoman a little closer? I don't put my foot on it. And I said, what the fuck are you saying? He's like, what? I was like, are you asking me if you can move the ottoman? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, you can move the ottoman.
It's a fucking ottoman. Don't ask me that. It's like, are you crazy? And he was like, yeah, I guess you're right. Okay. Moves it closer, puts his foot on it. The care I have is zero. We're watching Broadchurch. Bro, episode 3, in the middle, I look over at him. He's next to me eating waffles with syrup and butter, eating Calvin's waffles. And I look at him, and then I look at my wife, and I say, you fucking believe this guy? Hey, yeah, hey, can I move your ottoman? Hey, can I move your ottoman closer? That's what he asks. And then doesn't ask to go fucking house the waffles that we have in his tummy. He heated the syrup up in a bowl in the microwave. We had a good laugh after that. A llama is going to school. Did you see this? A llama has enrolled in an undergraduate program at a college, which means someone's not getting in because of this fucking llama, you know? Hey, I didn't get into, what's the university? Let's find it. Caesar, the no drama llama, will be pursuing a minor in Spanish. Hey, no, it won't. And a micro credential in petting zoo administration. Hey, no, it won't. I get it. It's cute. But, dude, everything for clicks now, right? Like, what the fuck? A llama? Of all the animals, too, the most shit disrespect. Like, put a monkey in it. Put a monkey in a fucking, you know, at Penn State. A llama. It's probably some. What college is this? I mean, what the fuck? It smells so bad in class, you know? Arr! It's just going like that in the back. Can you be quiet? I'm trying to take a test. It just spits on you. Okay. Well, this school sucks. Crazy, dude. And I know it's probably just for fun and clicks, but I don't care. Stop it. Oh, congrats to Alex and Brittany on their engagement in Hawaii. From Austin. Go to my page if you want to purchase a 10-word shout-out or add holler.baby/Crystalia. Congratulations to Matt Rife. He got a deal for Netflix to do two specials. One of them is one. I don't think two, is a crowd work special, which is the first crowd work special in Netflix that they're going to do, which is awesome. Congratulations to him. And dude, the fucking piss takes that people are taking on him. It's like, why can't, like, dude, there has to be that guy. There has to be that guy where their comedy is, you know, they're the poster boy of what, you know, the youth or quote unquote, not that he doesn't have male friends, male fans, he does, but he has a lot of female fans that people are going to be like, oh, this guy makes comedy and it sucks. There's just going to always be that guy. Okay. There's going to be that guy and he's going to be that guy. And that's fine. I love him. Okay. And I have nothing but good wishes for him. And I think that shit, it's awesome that he's doing his shit and making his money and he's funny. Okay. Now, the anger that this stirs up, oh, he's not even funny. He's just being a bully. He's punching down. Dude, if you come to my show, I'm punching down. It's funny. It's funny to punch up, punch down all around, all right? I punch all around, okay? So does Matt. Here's the deal. There are comedians that are trashing him. Fuck you, dude. Like, that's so bitch to trash another comedian because of their, like, first of all, the kid's 27, dude. You got Greg Proops out there and Mark Maron being like, this guy's shitty. Like, wow, this isn't right that Netflix gave. And then you got Kathy fucking Griffin like, you said it, Greg Proops. You guys are 60, dude. You guys are fucking 60 years old. Matt Rife is 27. Let him make his fucking millions of dollars. Let him make people happy, dude.
He's a good fucking guy. It's so dumb, dude. Oh, man, the more comedians that make more money, that sell more tickets, make other comedians make more money and sell more tickets. It's not a whole pie that you can only take some of. There's an infinite amount of pies. There's 8 billion people in the world. People aren't going to like, the same people that like Matt aren't going to like me. Same people who like me aren't going to like Marc Maron. Same people who like Marc Maron, they're not going to like fucking Carrot Top. There's people out there that go see fucking Terry Fator. It's not for me, but what the fuck? You want to go, go. Make your money. But for a comedian to trash another comedian like that is fucked up. And there's no loyalty to the game. It sucks. It sucks, dude. Especially you're fucking 30 years older than the motherfucker. And I'm not saying they're bad guys. Like, you know, who knows? They had a bad day. They tweet this, tweet that. But it's just like this fucking hate, this hate that happens on the internet and this like this anger, this I want to take down the man who has the stuff is just fucking crazy, dude. There's no honor in that shit. There's no honor. There's no, what do you call it? Brotherhood, sisterhood, whatever you want to call it. Theyhood. Because there's trans people too. That's it. Thank you very much for listening to Congratulations. Appreciate you. And, that's it for the episode on YouTube. If you want to watch the rest of it, the uncut episode, go on over to the Patreon. And our next Patreon is going to be our next. It's $6 to go check out every episode in its entirety, and then also the extra episode a month that we do. And the next one we do is going to be a banger. We have a surprise in store for you. Appreciate you guys. Thanks.